Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rum and Regret podcast. I am Andy Drake.
Johanna Myers.
Nate Tussie, and we drink and we know things.
And we are here tonight. We are going to give our review of the movie Renfield. And we thought of no one better to bring to our stream than the Rum and Regret Nicolas Cage expert, Mr. Stoop, Steve Palivka, everybody. Steve, how's it going?
I need to add that to my resume. I think it's probably one of my more prestigious titles.
Yeah, right after your master's.
Right. Master's LMFT Nick Cage expert.
Right. You
know, right up there.
No, man, thanks for coming on tonight. Yeah, seriously, we couldn't have brought anyone in better after the best Nicolas Cage movie podcast. Yeah. Needed to have you on. So, again, man, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. Before we get into the Renfield review, we will run through our segments. Joe, unfortunately, no Horror Corner.
I mean, Nick Renfield is the Horror Corner.
Pretty much the Horror Corner for us. Yeah. So we will have an extended Horror Corner with our review of Renfield.
Nice.
But with that, we will go into Shit You Should Be Watching. Name TBD.
Right. Working title.
Working title. Shit you need to watch. I forgot to mention this last time, and shame on me for not mentioning it last time, but the series finale of Picard has come and gone, and man, did it deliver?
I believe you mentioned it last time.
You were
gushing very heavily.
I was gushing over the penultimate episode.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't mention it last time, but man, it was incredible. Anything and everything a Next Generation fan could ever want from a reunion series. It was just incredible. There's a lot of behind the scenes of a certain set piece that they worked on that is just, it's like super emotional just to watch that. If you have any inkling towards Star Trek, man, watch the last season of Picard. It's fantastic. Since we've talked last time, a few new episodes of Ted Lasso have come out. Again, that show's just incredible. It just seems to get better and better.
I have not watched in the last couple weeks.
So okay. All right.
Spoilers, please.
No, I will not. I will not say anything else. All right.
Thank you.
But continuing with Apple TV Plus, there's a movie that came out with Chris Evans and Ana de Armas called Ghosted that we watched it. Yeah. Watched
on my list.
Why can't I talk? There's a segment in there that is for any Marvel fan. It is a cameo sequence. Let's just put it at that.
Nice.
So
a la Free Guy.
Right. Yeah. And Ryan Reynolds pops up.
Hey. What the fuck, man?
What?
That's a huge spoiler.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh my God. Hey, guess what? This guy pops up.
But he's not the only Marvel actor to come in. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There is another new series that just started on Apple TV Plus called Silo, which is fantastic. Rebecca Ferguson from Dune. Isn't it?
And Dr. Sleep.
And Dr. Sleep. Tim Robbins is also in it. This is a sort of a dystopian future. The human race lives in a huge silo. They are basically, the outside air has been poisoned. Like any other sort of multi-tier system, each tier of the silo sort of has their job to do and to keep everything up. And there's an air of mystery as to why the silo exists and what's going on, who built the silo, why was the silo needed, etc. Three episodes in, and it's incredible so far. So if you have Apple TV Plus, give it a chance. Since we've talked last two new amazing episodes of Yellow Jackets on Showtime. Man, this show, we are in the second season right now. Season three, unfortunately, is on the way, but it's going to be delayed because of the writer's strike. However, this show does, I think, what Lost started to do very well, but couldn't come through on it. And with the balance of two different sort of time frames and telling stories about the same characters in these two different frames, but having them sort of match what they're doing and what they're up to is just incredible. And you just sort of forget, you know, you forget how good this show is until you're watching it. And then you're just like, man, this show is just incredible.
Oh, sounds like we should start making some tacos.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? And they come out on Friday, so it would be fun to have all you guys over on a Friday to watch this. But yeah, this is one of those shows where on Friday night, we'd have to watch it because you just, it's that good. And then we have gone through the entire second season of Shadow and Bone on Netflix. And that was fantastic. It was a very good, solid season. It went quick. I mean, there were 8 episodes, but man, it went, it was that good. It went that quick. So, yeah, that's it for shit you should be watching.
Nice. I got a couple things to throw on the end of that, if that's all right.
No, of course, please do.
Just quick updates. We got some new releases on streaming this week. D&D movie and the Mario movie are now streaming.
That's right.
D&D streaming now too?
Yeah, D&D I believe is on the Paramount.
Paramount Plus, yeah.
Sweet.
Mario is for sale, you know, obviously. Just it's still in the theaters. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is tomorrow on
Disney
Boosts. So
nice.
Yeah, check that one out. It's fun. It's I think I said this before. It's like it's a really great Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, the characters in the world really kind of make it. But
nice. I forgot something. Sorry, do you have something else?
Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah, I got a couple more things. You go.
Okay. I completely forgot about Mrs. Davis. Have you guys heard about this? No. I think we are 7 episodes in on Mrs. Davis, and it's cool. It's a nun with a checkered past that is, there is a algorithm now that is sort of running the show, like an AI called Mrs. Davis. And and it is this nun is tasked with finding the Holy Grail. And it's one of those shows where you have no idea. Like week to week, they always throw a wrench into what you thought you saw last week. So Carlton Cuse is I think this is Damon Lindelof who wrote this. But man, it's such a great show, and it's Betty Gilpin plays the lead in it, and she's just fantastic. So. What?
Holy shit, it's Miss Davis. So the name hit some very deep-seated memories. That's the name of the teacher in Varsity Blues that they catch at a strip club stripping.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I had to Google it to make sure. Miss Davis.
Right. Davis. Yeah. So, Mrs. Davis is great. And the cast is really good. And again, like I said, uncovers these just really great sort of mysteries here and there. So check it out if you can. It's really good. It's on the cock. So what? What? You can't name a streaming service Peacock and not have me say it that way.
This is not a recurring bit that we should
encourage. I'm sorry.
Is there anything else on the cock we should know about?
Yeah. Andy praises the cock lately.
We should just have a segment called Andy Discusses What's on the Cock.
Andy loves Andy, the cock.
Andy worships the cock. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I got a couple more quick
ones. Go for it.
Not related to the cock. recently watched stuff. Ted Lasso minus a couple weeks. Obviously, great show. Finished Carnival Row season 2 yesterday.
Depressing.
Obviously, that show came to the end and very depressing.
Yeah.
Good action. Effects were pretty good. Story was pretty good.
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom's acting was not in this season.
Yeah.
Everyone else was great.
Kind of phoned it in a little bit.
Yeah, I think, well, being the EP and then knowing his show is canceled, I don't know if before they recorded any or did anything, but anyway, it was still fun and glad I watched it. So that's kind of horror adjacent. But then I watched the Air movie, Air, with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, the Nike shoe Michael Jordan movie.
That's right.
Amazon Prime. Yesterday, it was actually really good.
Okay.
I'm kind of shocked they released it on streaming because apparently it just died in the theaters because it was only in the theaters briefly.
Yeah.
But it's a really good movie. So definitely take some time and watch it. Jason Bateman's in it. But Matt Damon is just a tour in that. Nice. Really good. And then just rewatching some epic shit, Rebels to get ready for Ahsoka.
Oh, right.
Forgot how great the writing is in Rebels. We just finished season 1. And it's good.
Yeah.
I forgot how good it was. And then I got Annie hooked on Arcane and we mainlined the middle episodes last weekend. And we've got an episode and a half left and she is just entranced.
Oh, good.
One of the most beautiful pieces of anything I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Definitely worth a rewatch if you guys haven't seen it in a while.
So yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay, cool. With that, Nate, we can jump into the Marvel Minute.
A lot of stuff going down lately, so I'm just going to do some recent, about the last week worth of stuff. So, we got a Loki season 2 announcement date today, which is awesome. Loki season 2 releases on Disney Plus on October 6th. So it's much later than they originally announced. It was supposed to be mid-year. And it's going to be a Friday, which is a switch up from the Wednesday releases.
Hmm.
So that's going to be great. Can't wait to see that. Marvel also announced the Echo Show, which is the next one to come out. That's coming out November 29th. And they're releasing that all 6 episodes at once. So it's 6 1-hour ups.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
It's all happening at one time. Yeah. So that should be fun. We'll see how that goes because that's going to kind of dovetail into the Daredevil show when that actually gets released, which obviously is getting pushed for the strike.
Right.
They cast Chiwetel Ejiofor, who was Mordo in the original Doctor Strange movies. He's going to be in Sony's Venomverse. So he's going to be in Venom 3.
Ah.
They haven't said who he's going to play, but he's an amazing actor. So that's always good news to get some heavy hitters,
right,
to go along the slapstick. That'll be that. It's going to be, I shouldn't say slapstick because it's going to be super dark.
Yeah.
Counts. Cause it's going to be Venom and Carnage and potentially more symbiotes. So we'll see what happens there. For all the wrestling fans, first look, WWE superstar Seth Rollins is going to be a major villain in the new Captain America movie. That features Falcon as Captain America now. Apparently, he's going to be the second wrestler in the MCU after Batista, since Batista's done now, since Guardians is wrapped, but it'll be cool. Apparently, he's a giant dude with long hair and looks very imposing. So we'll see what happens there. They leaked some, I guess not leaked, but there was some set photos taken of Anthony Mackie's new suit for Captain America 4. Everything looks dope.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be very highly engineered and really good effects, so I'm excited for that movie when that finally comes out. This was one I actually need to follow the link to. So James Gunn ranked his top three favorite superhero movies.
He did his top 5 actually.
Well, no, it's his top 3. The other 2 are not superhero movies. They're from comic books. So you've already seen this article then, yeah?
I watched the video.
Oh, I didn't watch the video.
There was a video.
Yeah. So those are the people that haven't seen this. I want you guys to try to guess what his top 3 superhero movies are, Steve and Joseph.
I have no idea.
I'm at a loss.
Really? You guys, thanks for God. Guys. Never mind.
I was going to say, I don't know, Batman Returns.
Okay.
Never Superman mind. 4. I mean, go into it.
So, the quest for peace. Wow.
The interaction here is stellar, folks. Thanks for that. Jesus Christ. I'm going to go commit seppuku in the background.
We're the horror people, so, man. What do you expect from us? Right,
yeah. effort. I don't know. So, number three was Deadpool. He explained that Deadpool was even more of a comedy than his 2014 Guardians of the Galaxy and praised it for a perfect adaptation of the comic book and needed way more credit, and says Ryan Reynolds is one of the all-time great comic book icons alongside Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man and Christopher Reeve's Superman, which blends right into number two, Superman 1978, original Superman movie. Movie changed his life. It was the next big magical movie he experienced after watching Star Wars A New Hope. And he is super excited about the new Superman Legacy movie that he is going to write and direct, which I am also insanely excited. I was excited before, after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy 3, even more so, because that movie is fucking insanely good.
There's a bit of interesting casting news along that as well. Did you hear?
No casting news, a lot of speculation.
Right.
That somebody we're going to talk about later is going to be Lex Luthor.
That's correct.
So, okay. Yeah. It's very speculative. At this point, he's a front runner. I don't think anything's beneficial yet.
Yeah.
Let's see. And his number one is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is the perfect Spider-Man movie and is fucking insane. Doesn't have a bad beat in it. The entire film is perfect. And approaching it as a writer, saying he respects that the screenplay is, what did he say here? Is staying pointed the entire film. So honorable mentions, Deadpool 2, V for Vendetta, Iron Man, and Spider-Man Homecoming. So that's what I got on that one.
Okay.
That was fun. Let's see. Disney stopped production on another show because of the writer's strike. Wonder Man, I guess, is in production, which I was kind of shocked. I swore I heard Nate Fillion was playing Wonder Man, but I haven't double-checked that. So I don't think that's happening. But that would be interesting. We already talked about Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. Did you guys see Guardians 3 at all?
No, we haven't.
I did not.
I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it yet.
God, it's so good. So there's kind of, maybe I shouldn't talk about this then because it's kind of a spoiler at the end, but never mind. I'll continue. There's a really cool thing at the end that if you don't, it's easy to miss concerning Groot and that kind of thing.
So, okay.
If you guys don't care about spoilers, I can just explain it, but it's not really that big of a spoiler, I guess, now that I think about it. And then the last thing I have, which is super cheesy and very like TikTok-y, which Marvel Avengers character are you based on your Zodiac sign?
Oh God.
I know, it's so bad. Andy, what's your sign?
Aries the Ram.
Oh yeah, that's right. So you're going to be at the top here. You're Shang-Chi.
Okay.
Apparently. One of the most internally strong signs of the spectrum. You're known for wanting to be the top god, top dog, while boasting qualities like stubbornness and hot-headedness. No.
No, that's not me.
Apparently I'm T'Challa, so Wakanda forever. Let's go. Joseph, you're in the same boat too, right?
Gemini.
You're next then. Moon Knight. That's
dope. Yes.
Yeah. That's so perfect. No.
That's so perfect. Yeah. When's your birthday, Steve? Did I miss you already?
I share a birthday with famed Bay Area rapper Andre Nicotina, which is 3/11. So Pisces.
Pisces, yeah.
Okay, thanks for that.
Just throwing in some
effort,
knowledge.
I love the effort you made on
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Oh yeah. That's great. We're a lot alike, you know. Right. You know, so. Yeah. Really. Mostly the birthday, but
right, you know. Yeah, standing next to each other, I can't tell you two apart.
Nope, not at all.
Oh, so you're also Aries then?
No, he's Pisces.
No, Pisces.
Pisces.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, 21st. There we go. Where the fuck is Pisces on this goddamn list? Control F does not want to work. That's awesome. And the show is hit a new low. Leo, Virgo. Leo,
it'll be at the end.
Virgo, right. Mrs. Davis on the cock wasn't our new low?
Aquarius. No, that's true. It was. Oh, you're Miss Marvel. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. That was stupid and fun, but yeah. I'm done. So.
All right. With that, let's talk Renfield. So since Nate and I have been blabbering on about our segments, we'll get the reactions from Steve and Joe. Steve, as our resident Nicolas Cage expert, how did Renfield stack up?
You know, honestly, I went into it expecting it to be kind of like all right. I didn't know what to expect. It looked from the trailer, it looked campy. I was like, all right, it'll probably be like a campy, like whatever performance, forgettable. But I actually really, really liked it. At first, I was thinking, you know, is this going to center entirely around Renfield and not and have, you know, Nick Cage's Dracula be kind of a secondary character? But then the way that they kind of blended the two together, I thought was really well done.
Yeah.
And I actually have to say that Nick Cage did a phenomenal job in this movie. Like, yes. he was a good, passable actor, which is good for Nick Cage.
Yeah.
But then he also had, like, he was able to do the comedic bits really well.
Yeah.
Like, just the whole scene when he's drinking the martini glass with the eyeballs in it in Renfield's apartment. I was, like, rolling because I was like, oh, my God. Like, he's doing, like, such a good job of that comedic bit. Like, it was just so well done.
Yeah, his little mannerisms are insane. Like, let me tell you something, okay?
Yeah.
With the teeth and everything. Like, oh, my God, I was dying. I watched it again today, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. No, it was so good. And I just, overall, I felt like it was actually a really refreshing take on Dracula. Because we keep seeing Dracula movies that are, for the most part, very similar.
Yeah.
You have that regular Dracula formula, and I liked that they focused more on Renfield, and I loved the tie-in with like him going to the support group for narcissistic personality disorder and stuff like that. Like, I absolutely loved that approach to it. It was really good. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and I love that his introduction to when we first see Nicolas Cage, they had him sort of Lugosied up a little bit. Like, there was that one, and it wasn't it even in black and white too?
Yeah, it was in black and white.
Yeah,
specifically reshot scenes from the original, from that original movie, like scene for scene shot.
Okay,
on purpose in black and white to
pay
homage to it. Yeah, and set it up. That's
brilliant.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah,
the whole black and white section is pretty much shot for shot.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Joe, how did you feel about Renfield?
I'm pleasantly surprised. I actually, to be honest, I had really no desire to see this movie.
Really?
Like, from the trailers, I was like, oh, this looks terrible.
A vampire movie with Nick Cage and you had no desire to see it? Oh my God.
It looks so campy, and I was coming off of The Menu with Nicholas Holt, so I was like, oh, this motherfucker.
The Menu is your favorite movie, Joe. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because I hate that motherfucker so much. So I'm like, oh, great, I'm going to watch a whole movie of him as being Renfield. But that being said, I watched it and I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked it. Awkwafina was hilarious. I love her. And like you guys said, the black and white with Nick Cage as Dracula was fantastic. You know, the self-help group scenes were great. And, you know, like, the whole thing with the mob boss's son.
Yeah.
It reminded me if you guys have ever seen Silicon Valley. It was like the dude in Silicon Valley. where he's got the car with the doors that go like this, the doors that go like this. Like, that kind of, like, smarmy, rich, like, I can do anything, but I'm actually worthless.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, he's Teddy fucking Lobo.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right.
Do you know who I am?
I'm Teddy fucking Lobo.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm shockingly surprised and giving it, I'll give it a solid 7.
Nice. Excellent. Nate, how did you feel about Renfield?
Drake, I think you should go because I have a long and distinguished review of this movie.
Ah, like Mike Johnson. Okay. again, sort of what's already been said here. I loved the the varying stages of Nicolas Cage's reconstruction as Dracula, like the super crispy after getting flamed vampire with just the sort of beady eyes coming out, was incredible. And then like the second stage with just sort of like the flesh sort of hanging out, like I don't know how much was digital and how much was practical in those moments, but man, I thought they looked really well. And obviously it played so well, I think, on the screen, and especially in the moments to where with what was happening with Nicolas Cage and everything. That the action shots were incredible. I thought the action sequences were really good. Definite shout out to the stunt team and sort of putting those together. I thought that was, after watching Corder Crew's stuntmen react videos, I appreciate those. I kind of watch those sequences now with a different sort of appreciation and not necessarily that. I love Brandon Scott Jones as the support group leader. He's great in Ghost. He's so good in Ghost, and he's really good here. I just thought those sequences were really good, where he kept interrupting the one girl when she was trying to share.
And the one girl is the gal from Terrifier, the first Terrifier.
She's That's right. That's correct. Gal. Yes.
Tara.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was a really, really fun watch. I did think it was kind of fun that they that they save everybody with the Dracula bud afterwards, and that's like the coffee at the the support group at the end.
Everybody's just okay with it.
Right.
They can use the Dracula blood to save us and bring us back from things that we can't unsee. That sounds like a you problem.
Right.
Right.
Right. Awkwafina, man, she hasn't really turned in any real bad performances. Like, everything I've seen her in, she's been really good. And I hate that this is the one thing I always go back to, but her impression of DeVito in Jumanji The Next Level is just something, it's incredible.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, okay, man. It's only for one sequence, but it's just like, it's uncanny and incredible. So yeah, just seeing her on screen and seeing her do what she does and watching her be the sort of, the cop that is the one person that gets it, and is sort of the outcast of the whole thing, I thought was really good too. So no, this was a lot of fun. It was really good. So I would definitely agree with you, Joe. 7 side kittens for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about, unless side kittens are measured by the amount of fake blood that they used in this, like
oh, animated man.
And otherwise.
Dude,
there was okay.
So, the gore.
Sorry, Annie.
No, yeah, sorry. You reminded me, but I'm sure you'll mention it. But dude, go for it.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'll go through this quickly. Okay. Full disclosure, I did watch the movie today, like in the background off and on. And then I also watched a couple interviews going back to when this thing was released. And there was one that I ran into. Do you guys know Cinema Therapy at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Steve, you need to favorite this channel and watch it again. So it's a 2-man show. They have like 1.3 million followers and they're really, really well done. But one of the guys is a film creator in Hollywood. The other guy is a therapist, like a board certified therapist. And they go through and all these different movies. But the one I saw, they got to interview Robert Kirkman.
Oh, so, wow.
Walking Dead, Bob Kirkman. Wow. He's the EP and he created the story. Of this, apparently.
Okay.
And so there's this 25 minute video, which you guys should take time to watch because it's fucking hilarious. They basically go through a bunch of scenes and kind of break them apart and talk about the different performances that the different the main actors give, and just all the little mannerisms and affect that Nick Cage puts on Dracula. And it's just, so a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about, I kind of bit from that interview. But there's some good shit. So I wanted to share it.
Okay.
So they're talking about how I was looking at the rating for Renfield because it's like, Jesus Christ, this is insane. And one of the ratings was a rated R for language, drug use, violence, and some blood and gore. And I went, some? They're like anime geysers of blood.
I know. That's being kind.
There wasn't enough fake blood in the world, so they had to add it all digitally, which made it look really stupid, but also kind of worked with the way the movie was because they didn't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
It was just, it was exactly what was advertised, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I give this thing just a much higher score because it wasn't pretending to be like this pretentious Dracula recreation or anything like that. I got exactly what I wanted from this, and I had such a great fucking time with it. I was curious, Steve, where do you think this movie would rank in your Nick Cage bracket? Like, would it make the final four?
Yeah.
This is very Nick Cage for me. I guess
yeah.
If there's more Nick Cage in it, it'd probably be pretty high, but
I think it would definitely rank high. The issue I think that I would have in including it in the bracket is because A, Nick Cage has done so many movies, right. But the metrics that were used for the bracket were like, I don't know that this would be one of his best performances, and it's too good to be one of his worst. Yeah. So it would fall in that middle range where it wouldn't really be in a bracket, unfortunately.
Gotcha. It was so Nick Cage for me. Especially after the whole bracket episode and then thinking about, you know, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He does so much with every scene. Like the scene where he's drinking the martini, it wasn't the one with the eyeballs. It was before that. He's drinking the martini and then he like gurgles the blood in his mouth for a minute.
Yeah.
Like when he breaks into the, when he finally gets to the support group and they invite him in, he's got his top hat on and he looks at, at Nicholas Holt and like does the eyebrow thing and you can hear the hat moving, like those little things, and like oh too many bodies, really, like, and just the way he delivered the lines, like, you know, I'm the real victim here, and shit like that, like, oh my god, watching it again today I was fucking dying, like a busload of cheerleaders would get me back to full power.
Right.
Nicholas Holt's like, female cheerleaders don't make it sexual. Yeah. It's so overacted, but I loved it so much. Oh my god. So I already talked about the remaking Dracula with the black and white scenes. That was something that they pointed out in that that interview. Then apparently Nick Cage has always wanted to play three characters: Captain Nemo, Superman, and Dracula, and this was his Dracula performance, so he really kind of went all out for it. I'd love to see like a special edition or an extended edition. I want all the deleted scenes of all of his takes and improv and all that. Cause I'm a huge Dracula fan and obviously a huge Nick Cage fan. And I want to see all that. Uh-huh. This is something I got out of a different review. Special shout out to Tom Cruise and the Mummy remake failure, because if that universe ever took off, we probably wouldn't have seen Nick Cage as Dracula.
That's true. Yeah.
So, that was a really cool point too. And then I put so much Cage in all caps, eyebrow wiggle, slurping the blood teenies, the blood bag throne was a really cool image with all the blood bags behind his chair or whatever in the secret lair. I thought that was really cool. The way he went out with the Hail Satan!
Yeah.
Like, again, with this like crazy delivery was great. Nicholas Holt kills this movie. Like, holy shit. I was talking to Annie about this earlier and she said, man, they really, those guys have some great chemistry. Well, Nick Holt played his son in The Weatherman, apparently. So they've acted in movies together before, which I thought was really cool. There was a great moment in the movie. Like, you always hear the saying, I'm going to rip your arms out and beat you to death with them.
Yeah.
And it happens.
Like, they literally did it.
Right. Yeah. They literally rip arms off, beat people to death, uses them as spears at one point. It's amazing. He had some great chemistry with Awkwafina too. When they're first talking and meeting, she's like, ex-military, right? You moved around a lot. He's like, yeah, I was in the Great War.
Right.
Iraq.
Yeah.
Like, not so great. 3 to 5 stars. Like, his delivery was kind of spot on too. I mean, obviously he's a great actor. He's really blowing up right now too. And has been in a lot of stuff over the last decade, but he's definitely coming into his own now. And so I thought he did a great job in this movie. Awkwafina, got to give her props. Fuck you, Kyle.
Right. So good.
Is our latest term of endearment between Annie and I. So, nobody else really gets, which is hilarious.
Right.
Like in public. Did I just watch you guys cut a guy's arms off with a decorative serving platter?
Yeah.
In that initial meet, which is great. And then after she gets shot and he takes care of her, like, I don't want your murder cookies.
Right.
She, like, falls. Okay, give me the murder cookie. Not the one that looks like shit.
Yeah.
Then, of course I didn't need his cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Of course right. I didn't need a strange man's cookies. And then there's a great scene at the end where she's talking to I don't know how to pronounce her name, but the leader of the Lobos, Bella Francesca Lobo.
Oh, yeah.
The actress with the voice.
I'm not going to work here anymore.
I'm not going to pronounce her.
I will say every time I see or hear her voice, I get like, I'm like, oh, I love her.
Yeah, exactly. She's fucking
amazing.
Yeah.
But they're having that moment at the end where she's like, touché, ma chérie. And she goes, au revoir, bitch.
Yeah.
With no accent. This is the best. And then just as kind of like a special, not a special announcement. My brain doesn't work right now. Extra kind of props to Ben Schwartz, who is more over the top than Nick Cage in this movie, if that's even possible. He overacts every scene that he's in to such a degree
yeah.
that I fucking love it. Like, he's running away at the beginning with a dozen kilos of coke in his arms. I have a prescription for this shit.
Right.
And then starts to throw it back at the cops in his face. Like, and then he has this moment with Dracula where they're face to face. He's like, are you happy? Are you going to fuck me up? And Nick Cage is just laughing maniacally and they're laughing at each other. It's some of the best shit ever.
Like, I totally felt Awkwafina about that guy. I'm just like, how is he not arrested?
Yeah, exactly. How many of you motherfuckers are on the take? You should all go to jail. One of my favorite parts, though, is when towards the end, you can kind of see where this is going to go, but he brings Dracula to meet his mom, and he's like, Mom, it's fucking Dracula. It's the real fucking Dracula. Fuck. And then does like a little fang thing with his fingers.
Yeah.
It's so bad, but I love it so much. And then he's fighting Nick Holt at the end. He's been changed. He's a familiar now. And he goes, having Dracula powers is fucking amazing. Nicholas Holt's like, don't say Dracula powers. The one-liners in this movie, like, if I keep watching this over and over, it's going to be a cult classic for me, I think. But in general, I thought it was a great, great horror comedy that's kind of in a chic. I can't speak. It's a great horror comedy that's in a shrinking genre, in my opinion. I haven't seen a lot of really good horror comedies lately. So,
right.
Yeah, there's some really great lines from this, specifically like, you know, clearly we're dealing with a little more than narcissism here when Dracula's like over the top of the support group. And my favorite thing, or one of my favorite things, is in the very beginning, like the first scene, where the lady is talking about her boyfriend and his love of ska.
Yes. Oh, man. That's so good. It's so good.
She starts naming off the bands, and one of the other guys, I fucking hate that shit. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. And then one of the other guys is like, is that the one that's like 90% trumpets? And like, yeah, I was thinking about that. And then she defends it. She's like, that's so minimized as ska's like contributions to music. Who am I?
Right.
Yeah. It shows the trauma so well. But my favorite one is that when Nick Holt finally shares with the group and is talking about like his concerns and everything, and then the therapist or the leader of the group is talking about, well, you can take that power back. What happens if you don't do what he needs? He won't grow to full power. He won't grow to full power. Yes. That's so weird you would put it that way, but yes.
Yeah.
The casting is perfect front to back. And even just the people that have a few lines, like some of the people in that support group that keep getting interrupted or, you know, comment towards the end, are all kind of pitch perfect. I fucking love this movie. It's at least an 8 for me.
Nice.
Nice. I'd watch it again, like, immediately.
Yeah.
So, that was my long-winded review.
How many times have you seen it now?
Two.
All right.
Yeah, okay. But I watched it today. So
right. Okay. All right.
Very new on it.
Yeah. Excellent. Nice.
Yes.
What else?
I want a sequel.
I know.
I want to know is what happens to all these people that got revived by Dracula blood. Aren't they going to be vampires? Like, let's go.
Right. Yeah.
Vampire apocalypse that Nick Holt unleashed on the world. And Nick Holt and Awkwafina have to figure out a way to solve it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think at the at the end anyway, dude, I'm sorry. Xander was just in here. But did you mention the cocaine circle?
Oh no, the Circle of Powder.
Yeah,
I totally called that. Yeah, that was hilarious. I mean, it's powder.
It turns out it could be any powder. That was just
thank you, Wiccan Tumblr.
Right,
out of a Wiccan Tumblr. Yeah, exactly.
That was so good.
They threw Tumblr in there. It could have been anything else. Like Wikipedia isn't a thing.
I know. Yeah.
No, Wiccan Tumblr is legit.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, Nate. I think this was great. It totally deserves a sequel, and if it does, I hope it gets it for sure. If Nicholas Holt isn't too busy being Lex Luthor, what else do we think? Final thoughts on this? Steve, did you give it a rating?
Yep. I didn't, but I would say I'm actually going to rank it pretty high, I think, because I agree with a lot of, I have to say, I agree with a lot of what Nate said, especially about it's kind of rare, I'll say, to have a horror comedy in this kind of vein.
Yeah.
I see because, what you did there. Dead jokes. Make it in time.
Because most horror comedies are heavier on the horror, I'll say, and like less on the comedy, and I feel like this was more on the comedy, less on the horror. But I feel like I agree with a lot of what you said. I think the excessive gore in this worked to its favor. Similarly, it reminded me a lot of the movie Turbo Kid, which is, if you haven't seen it, it's fantastic. It's like a kind of more sci-fi than horror, but it has excessive gore in almost a comical sense.
Sure.
Like this, but it plays to the strength of the movie.
Right.
Nice. And I just like, I was dying when he's fighting them at the apartment complex and he uses the guy's arms to pin the two guys to the wall. Right. Yeah. I was like, okay, like that, like at first I was like, okay, so this is a little gory, but then I was like, okay, they know it's excessively gory and they're just going with it. I appreciate that.
Find
so.
Me a bug and he steals the guy's ant farm.
Bad man, Mr. Rindle. That was so funny.
Oh, and at the end, like him and Awkwafina are walking down the, like the pyramid of bodies, like the pile.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. What was her line? Right. She's like, you know how people have seen, like, it's not the
like,
worst
I've
thing
I've seen.
Ever.
Worse.
Yeah,
like, this is the worst.
I saw was the worst.
Yeah, but I would give it, I'd say I'd give it probably a 7.5 out of 10. I'm taking off 2.5 points because I do love ska, and I was deeply offended by that entire. When she started naming ska bands, I was like, yep, yep, oh, they're so great. And then I was like, wait, what?
Who have I become?
I may or may not have made the argument before she made it in the film. Like, you guys don't understand ska's, like, purpose and what they've done. And I was like, oh, I was so upset.
When she says that, Nicholas, and he fucking Redfield laughs, I swallowed a bug. Yeah. Unintentionally.
Yeah.
Why would you do it intentionally?
Yeah.
But no, it was genuinely, it was so much fun. I really enjoyed this film. Way more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Excellent. So Steve, I gotta ask, what's next on your radar?
Okay, for movies coming out.
Just for you, yeah.
I still want to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, it's available on digital now. You just gotta pay for it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Okay, because I've been seeing, like, I don't have a lot of time to get out to the movies, so I feel like I usually catch stuff on streaming after it's been in theaters. But
yeah,
that's a more recent one that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm not quite up to date on what's coming out. I know there's a lot of new horror coming out, but I've been just so swamped, I haven't been keeping track of it.
Yeah.
I did today, with the addition of Renfield, I now am up to 1,500 horror movies. Ooh. On my list. Renfield was number 1,500.
No,
so
really?
I just updated my I believe there is. I have my spreadsheet for when I do my 31 Days of Horror again this year.
Nice.
To make it easier for me. And then I just recently, I actually just today got a delivery of some new horror DVDs, including the Blu-ray release of Lena Quigley's Horror Workout from Terrorvision Records. Nice. Which is amazing. If you've never seen it, it was released back in, God, I want to say the 80s. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's Lena Quigley's horror workout.
Yeah.
Is it like reps of ripping heads off or something? Like
one,
and two, and three?
Like, her in a bikini with like studs and a chainsaw and people dressed up as zombies, and it's like half horror movie, half workout tape.
Oh my which God, is that's awesome.
Oh man.
It's amazing. It'll be going up on my server as well.
As
so.
Advertised.
Nice. As advertised.
Look forward
exactly.
to that one.
Yes. But yeah, just yeah, not much else going on in the that. So.
Okay, when we get to Evil Dead Rise, because that's something that I want to see as well. I know Joe wants to see it too. So
I'll watch it too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll get Nate on it. Yeah. So let's reconvene with Evil Dead Rise and do probably a mini review of that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else to mention, guys?
I'm good. Go see it.
Yeah, go see Renfield if you can.
Yeah,
it's on digital.
It is on digital. Everywhere. And yeah, that's it. So yeah, let us know what you thought of Renfield. Did you like it as much as we did? If you did, tell us in the comments. You can find us on Facebook at the Rum and Regret Podcast. Find us on Twitter at @Rum_Regret. We're also on Instagram, and Nate, I believe you're posting as Rum and Regret from your stuff.
Yeah.
So what's your stuff?
Well, no, I'm posting as Rum and Regret.
Oh, as Rum and Regret on Instagram yeah. and TikTok, right?
Yeah, and TikTok and okay. Facebook and yeah, everything but Twitter.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then Nate, what are your socials?
Sure. Yeah. Avid Gamer, AV1D Gamer on all the socials and your gaming platforms of choice. Taking a break from Modern Warfare, went through Jedi Fallen Order, which is amazing. Afraid to jump into the new Legend of Zelda game because I've heard it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it took people all of like 2 seconds to make a bunch of dicks, apparently, in the game.
No.
a bunch of Rick and Morty homages to giant dick statues, etc. So Google that at your own discretion. But there's some funny ass shit out there. So, yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the final season of Rick and Morty has hit Hulu.
Ooh, fantastic.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. You guys, when you get a chance, watch it just for the lightsaber episode.
This guy spoils everything.
It happens in the first 2 seconds.
Cool. Oh, cool. Now you spoiled what it happened.
Of the episode. But it starts off with the Die Hard episode. So,
okay.
I mean, come awesome. On. Come on. Yeah, Joe, where can they find you?
At Joe Chickadee on the socials or at joechickadee.com.
Mr. Soup, where can they find you, sir?
So I am on TikTok. I haven't posted anything yet because I've been busy, but I will. I'm going to just start uploading weird stuff that I find until I make my own videos. Yes. But thank you guys. I want to say Rum and Regret inspired my TikTok name. It's Mr. Soup's House of Horror.
Yes.
On TikTok. Yes. And then on Steam and everything, I'm We Are Stevo. For those who liked Arcane and love torturing themselves with the game that is League of Legends, I'm We Are Stevo. If you want to add in duo or whatever, I'm always playing that and banging my head against the wall, which is just as productive. Yeah.
I might have to pick that up just to...
No, run yeah. far away.
Well done, sir. You're a true friend.
Yes. I will stage an intervention. On, yeah.
great. Excellent. And then you can find me at Crazy Drake on Facebook, at Andrew Drake on Twitter. And until the next time, which will be a while from now, because we will be skipping next scheduled podcast because Joe is leveling up.
We'll see you in June.
Huh?
We'll see everybody back in June.
We'll see you in June. So until that time, we have spoken.
Hail Satan!